I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier for Christ. I'm a soldier.
No, they'll never take us under, because we're bringing truth like thunder. Raining on your speakers like a ton of bricks. Hold the cross high, cause we're Catholics. Fight the good fight with the truth. Stand tall with the truth. I'm a warrior for Christ. I'm in love with the truth. Love God, save souls, slay error.
Go stronger.
Welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show. We always say we're too blessed to be stressed. We're too anointed to be disappointed. And if hope was money, we'd be a billionaire. Even with the coronavirus running around, we still have our hope in Jesus Christ. This is a special edition radio broadcast with Bishop David O'Connell. Bishop David O'Connell, welcome to the Terry and Jesse Show.
Thank you very much. Good to be with you.
It's always good to be with you, Bishop David. I've loved having you at our Spiritual Warfare Conference, and I'm looking forward to next year. In January, please God, we can do another conference at St. Chris in West Covina. Bishop David, everybody's mind right now is towards what's happening with the coronavirus. It's been really disrupting a lot of people's lives to a point where even Sunday Mass we can't get to. People are having difficulty getting to confession, visits to the Blessed Sacrament. And I just wanted to ask you to come on and give us some hope here. In Jesus, that we have, even in spite of the coronavirus. Could you share a little bit of your thoughts on that?
Yes, well, I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to speak with you and your listeners. I know this is a time of terrible anxiety for so many people, and everybody's life has been disrupted in so many ways, but I've been hearing during the week of the spiritual anxiety and suffering that people have because they can't get them, because there's no public mass celebrated in our parishes on the weekdays or on Sundays. There's no even opportunities for people to get together in their usual prayer groups or ministry groups in the parishes. So it's a time of a great deal of suffering.
Amen to that.
You know, I was thinking that about something that in our own history in Ireland, you know, there was actually a time in Ireland, in the especially in the 1700s, where for about 150 years, Mass was outlawed.
Wow.
Was priests who were found saying Mass were executed. They were hung right there on the spot.
Wow.
Priests would go around. A few priests we had who would go to, young men would go to Europe to get educated as priests, and they would come back to Ireland and go around as beggars, really, or, you know, and just and go from town to village and put the word out. We'll have Mass tonight over in the glen or in the forest or in the mountainside, and people would gather around and they would say Mass on these rocks.
Wow.
They were called the Mass Rocks. And if they saw the soldiers coming, sometimes even men in the congregation would stand up and they would put the vestments on themselves, and they would be hung right there and then, and the priest would get a chance to escape and go to another village.
Amazing.
This was for almost 200 years, but certainly 150 years of our history, where there was hardly any access to the sacraments of the Church and to the Holy Eucharist, or no access to a priest even. But people would gather in their homes, and the families would gather and say the Rosary.
Beautiful.
And you know, the Rosary kept the Blessed Mother by the prayer of the Rosary, and the people's faith in Jesus kept the Catholic faith alive.
Wow.
All those years until the 1800s, when there was again, and the law was changed by Britain, that people could practice their faith again, they could have churches. And so that was, but when the faith came back, even more powerful than ever, and still we had another 150 years of very powerful, strong faith in Ireland. where priests and sisters would go from Ireland all over the whole world to bring the Catholic faith.
Bishop David, this very same thing happened in Japan when Christianity was outlawed. It seems like persecution breeds strong faith, and when we don't have a persecution and we have like an easy life, and I'm not condemning Ireland. I'm just saying Ireland had a very strong faith. I was there last year, and I was very disappointed.
It's terrible. It's terrible.
Yeah, I did.
It's very sad now in Ireland because they've thrown away the faith and they've thrown away. But, you know,
tell me.
Like you say, they were strongest under the times of persecution. But and then just bring this whole thing back to our own.
Sure, let's bring
our own
it back.
Reality here right
sure.
now.
Sure.
I think in many ways we might have just taken the great mystery of the Eucharist, the great gift of Jesus Christ as given to us in the Eucharist, we have begun to take it for granted.
Yes.
And we didn't maybe appreciate it enough. But whatever it is, now we need to learn from... we need to learn how to renew our faith even in this time of terrible loss and disruption and suffering.
Yeah.
And so that's why I'm here, and I'm so glad to have the opportunity.
Sure.
And I know you've talked about this already, Terry,
yes.
in your own broadcasts. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that we can do now
yeah.
in order to renew in our hearts and souls and minds, our love for Jesus and for each other.
Amen to that.
That's what I'm here to talk about,
well,
really.
And I'm excited that you're here because, you see, this is a strong leadership of a bishop to, you know, you're our spiritual father here in the San Gabriel Valley. And I say any bishop is a spiritual father to us all. And I appreciate your concern because you're right. A lot of people are stressed over this whole situation where they're not working right now. They're thinking, oh, my gosh, how am I going to pay my rent because I don't have my employment going? And these are real concerns. And I just want to ask, Bishop, if you could even pray for those people that are out of work right now, that God will give them. I mean, we prayed yesterday because it was St. Joseph's feast day. For you know the work, well, St. Joseph the workers May 1st, but we started a little novena. But I wanted to just ask your prayers for many of the people who I've talked to already, where they've lost their jobs, that God will give them through the intercession of St. Joseph even better work than what they were doing. That's my prayer.
Yeah, would I pray right now?
I would like you to pray right now for those who are out of work, that God will bless them with even better jobs than what they left, because people are really stressed over this right now when they can't go to work. And I can appreciate that, especially as a dad, that responsibility of bringing in, you know, the meat, the food. And now that people are out of work and it looks like it's going to get worse before it gets better, I'd like you to just pray a prayer for those folks.
So right now, pray to you, Mary, our Blessed Mother, and Joseph, St. Joseph, who both of you work together to keep the home at Nazareth a beautiful place of love and faith and work and responsibility. Pray for these moms and dads, and many also pray for the single parents who are struggling because if they lost a job, they're trying to carry a whole burden of their homes by themselves. Mm. But pray for all the parents whose work is being reduced, who are being furloughed, who are being sent home from work, and who just can't go to work and are seeing their salary disappearing.
Mm.
Please, Blessed Mother, I know you love these families. You have mercy on them. Please help them to find a way through this present crisis, and for those who have lost work to find even better work.
Amen.
So that they can continue to sustain their families. And help us all, Blessed Mother, St. Joseph, help us to help them, help the families that are struggling.
And we ask
this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop David. That meant a lot to, I know, a lot of our listeners who are out of work. And Bishop David, I just wanted to ask you also, many times when people are idle, this is when people get in trouble. I know you worked in the inner city when you were a local priest here in the Diocese of L.A., and you were on the streets just praying with people in their home, outside their home, on the streets, wherever. And I just want to ask you, give some of our listeners some ideas, if you can, regarding this spiritual warfare that we're up against, in the sense of we live in a world that's fallen, and here we have a lot of time on our hands, and we're going to take a quick break, then when we'll come back, we'll let you answer that question. But give people ideas of how they can better their relationship with Jesus Christ and take advantage of this downtime in the sense of employment. And this is what I'd like you to do after the break. Folks, you're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town, but Bishop David O'Connell, the Auxiliary Bishop of the San Gabriel region in the Archdiocese of Los Angeles, is with us, and he's giving us his take in regards to how this opportunity can be an opportunity to fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church, when you have an amount of time on your hands that you normally don't have to fill it with Christ-centered material rather than, you know, watching some Netflix thing or whatever to waste your time. This is what we're trying to help you get deeper and deeper in love with Jesus so that we all can get to heaven, because this is our role right now. Life is short and eternity is forever. We come back. Bishop David will come back and share some thoughts regarding activities for families that can help them fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church.
Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp for my feet and a light to my path." According to St. John Paul II, being a Christian means saying yes to Jesus Christ. It consists in surrendering to the Word of God and relying on it, but also endeavoring to know better and better the profound meaning of this word. May God grant that we always rely on His word, read it often, and put it into practice.
Baby move in your tummy?
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right. Every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. We have Bishop David O'Connell with us. And I had asked him a question on ideas of how to follow Christ more deeply at this time of crisis regarding the coronavirus. But before I do that, I want to inspire you. I just got this over today. A priest flies with a monstrance in the plane to bless the people with the coronavirus-stricken land. And this is Father Anthony. Wow, you talk about being creative and heroic. His parishioner owns a plane. He says, yeah, let's go up on the plane, and with the Blessed Mother and the monstrance, we're going to go bless the people. That's what he did. His name is Father Anthony Mampella. He's a pastor of St. Gianna Beretta Mola Parish in Northfield, New Jersey. Yeah, he took the Blessed Sacrament, statue of the Blessed Mother, into the skies above his diocese and prayed for God's protection. See, that's a man of faith, okay? I love when priests do that, Bishop. I don't know about you, but, you know, it's inspirational because he took the bull by the horns and said, look, we've got the answer. It's Jesus Christ. We need to, I mean, I see this, Bishop David, in history in the 1500s with St. Charles Borromeo doing a similar thing, except he didn't have an airplane, but he took the monstrous out and blessed people. I saw this in 565 when there was another pestilence for the church. I just love it when people are not afraid to say, wait a minute, we're Catholic. We believe in the power of God. Okay, I just had to give that good news story, Father Bishop David. I get a little excited, but when I read these stories, they bring me closer to Christ because I see faith in action. So, Bishop David, getting back to the question. Yeah, praise God. Getting back to the question, give us some ideas on how our family life can be better in the sense of with this coronavirus knocking everybody out in the sense of their work. They're going to have more time at home. What are some ideas on helping family life right now?
Okay. So, you know, Terry, about 6 weeks ago, the bishops of California had a meeting with for their limited visit with Pope Francis.
Good.
And one of the first things he said to us.
Love it.
And I haven't heard him say this before, but and I don't know what even the context was why he said it, but he said to us, and this is, of course, before we were, any of us were at all worried about coronavirus or anything like it.
Yeah.
But he said, teach people how to do prayer of adoration.
Awesome.
As he says, in that way, people will begin to experience the help of Jesus in their lives.
That is powerful.
And I thought it was very beautiful. And I think that's the first thing I would like to talk to everybody about, and I'm doing it as much as I can these days.
I'm all ears. I want to hear this.
And I tell people that prayer of adoration is basically, Terry, is basically speaking to Jesus with love.
Amen.
Even singing to him with love.
I love it.
And it's something that we don't... We're shy about doing maybe in our Catholic faith for some reason. Mm-hmm. But I saw all through my years working in South L.A., working with the men who were addicted or filled with rage about some trauma in their lives, or even little children in school, or people who had been abused, or they were living with so much unhappiness in their lives. And I would say to them, I would, after we talk about all their troubles and all their problems, I would say, well, would you like a way out of this suffering you're in? Yes, I would. I said, well, the best way to move from where you're at, from this darkness to the light, is by entering into a friendship with Jesus.
Amen.
And they would say, how do I do that? Well, I say, just talk to him. Mm-hmm. Talk to him with love. Just say, Jesus, I love you. Come into my heart. Guide me. Be with me.
Mm.
Bless me, Jesus. You're my life, my hope, my joy. Just talk to Jesus in a loving way. And, you know, even the gang members on the streets or the little children or the parents at the catechism class, the ones who did this, they would tell me, even after 2 or 3 days of doing that prayer of adoration in the morning and in the night, that they would begin to feel Jesus walking with them.
Wow.
And they would experience a little bit more peace and kindness in their hearts and in their homes.
Beautiful.
Problems that seemed so huge began to be more manageable. It's just that So I would just say, just put, this is a way, the first step in having a transformed life, and having a new life, is to just turn your life over to Jesus, talk to him with love, put your faith in him, put your hand in his hand, and he, and you will see that he will help you, and you begin to experience him walking with you.
Bishop David, that is so beautiful. I got to share with you that a priest introduced me to that years ago, and he told me at night, I have a picture of Jesus with the little children in the garden. Everybody can picture this right now who are listening, yes, where Jesus has little children in his lap. We all know that picture. Well,
yes.
I ended up getting a picture that's about 4 feet tall and probably 3 feet wide, and it's hanging to my side of my bed. So before I go to bed at night, I'm 63 years old, but I've been doing this for decades.
That's beautiful.
Yeah, I look up at that, Bishop David, and before I go to bed, after I say my prayers, I look up and I say, Jesus, can I jump into your lap?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, I envision myself being held by Jesus Christ every night. And I'm telling people, this is powerful, and I want to share that with anybody who will listen. And what you're just saying about turning your life to Christ and talking and praying, I find that, and when I introduce people to the Blessed Sacrament, to really believe, and Bishop David, this is embarrassing to have to say it, and I'll just say this. One of our deacons in our Diocese of LA, friend of mine now, shared with me when he heard Bishop Robert Barron at the Religious Ed Congress preach on the real presence of Christ in the Eucharist for an hour and 15 minutes. I watched it on YouTube. Fantastic. It's all of what we've been doing for 40 years as lay people, teaching people about the real presence and that Jesus is truly present under the appearance of bread and wine. And the Bishop David, the deacon told me that it wasn't until Bishop David shared that talk He didn't realize what the Catholic Church taught about the transubstantiation. Here he is, a deacon in the Catholic Church for years, and never knowing that, for whatever reason, somebody didn't form him well to get to that point. And now he understands that, and the Eucharist has become so much more powerful to him to understand that it is truly Jesus under the appearance of bread and wine.
Yeah.
Now, why do I say that? Because he's a very good deacon in our diocese. But he was so brutally honest to say, I'm going to share that with other people. And I think that's pretty much, unfortunately, Bishop David, that we've lost, as Bishop Robert Barron said, from the Pew Research, people don't believe in the real presence because many of them have not been taught that over the last 40 or 50 years. I've done studies for 40 years of asking people, and we don't get that. So what I'm saying to you is, your simple approach to introduce people to Jesus, I try to do that with the Blessed Sacrament, because once they realize it's Jesus, I find that they fall in love with him.
That's very beautiful. And also, Terry,
tell me,
people ask me, well, how can we help people to have more of a love for the for the Eucharist?
Yes.
I say, well, teach them first to have a love for Jesus.
Amen.
And when you love Jesus,
that makes sense.
You will love the Eucharist
so much
because Jesus is totally present in the Eucharist.
Amen.
And so this is kind of like what I'm talking about here with the prayer of adoration.
Yes.
And you've been talking about that also, of course. The first step in having that even a renewed faith.
Yes.
And also the first step in having a renewed family and a renewed life is to enter into this friendship with Jesus. So I just wanted, that's the kind of the first thing I wanted to share was
good,
because even today's gospel,
from
the Gospel of Mark, was this one of the scribes asked Jesus, which is the first of all the commandments?
Mark 12.
Jesus replied, the first is this: Hear, O Israel, Lord your God is Lord alone. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. Amen. And the second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself.
Wow!
But I tell people. So this is what this is all about. We want to bring our people to love the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
With all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. And then this will lead you to love your neighbor as yourself.
Bishop David.
You see Jesus in your neighbor.
You get me excited.
And this
That's
is
beautiful.
the Beautiful. This is the way forward for us. Yeah. And in these days, when we don't have the Eucharist, Archbishop Gomez is saying we remind people about spiritual communion.
Oh, absolutely.
Into the spiritual communion every day by saying the prayers of spiritual communion, but also by just talking to Jesus with love, singing to him with love. If you have little hymns that you might know from your childhood that you could sing, just sing to Jesus. And you're going to experience something touching your heart.
Amen.
And healing you and consoling you. Because the Lord Jesus is moved, moved so deeply when his beloved children, like we are, speak to him with love. So practice that. I'm saying to all the listeners,
yes,
and to everybody who hears us, just every morning, every night, begin this practice of your personal prayer, talking to Jesus with love.
Well said.
And speaking to him and singing to him with love. And then maybe in another few moments we could talk some more, but then about
absolutely
the great power of people in the family, at least two in the family, praying together.
Oh, yeah, that's powerful.
Yeah, we can talk some more about that in a few minutes.
Yeah, we're going to take a quick break right now.
That's the first step, is your own personal relationship
absolutely
with Jesus.
That is so beautiful. And you know, Father, our Bishop David, that what you just said, I've heard people tell me decades later that when we introduced them to the person of Christ, it changed their life and it helped them throughout their life. And I'm talking about, and maybe I'll share it later, a woman that I met 40 years ago teaching her religion classes at St. Chris in the 70s. And now wow, she's 60, and she told me that we taught her about the real presence of Christ, her relationship with Jesus, and that, you know, other moral things that were stuck with her for 40 years. And she told me 40 years later that she held on to that all through her life, and that's what got her through some tough times. So why do I say that? Because we got tough times right now, and if we don't have that relationship with Jesus, we're not going to make it. That's just my take. We're going to take a quick break. Bishop David's going to come back with us and talk to us more about prayer, because without prayer, nothing happens. I love what Bishop Sheen says about prayer as a dialogue. He on his Life is Worth Living, that we all need to have prayer. Without prayer, nothing happens. You're listening to the Terry and Jesse Show. Bishop David O'Connell from the Diocese of Los Angeles is with us. He's the Auxiliary Bishop of the San Gabriel region. He's my bishop, and I love him. You know why? Because he's my shepherd, and he is a shepherd that's helping me fall deeper in love with Jesus Christ and his bride, the church. And I know he's doing that for you. We'll be right back with much more. Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, A portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio, and it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family. This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for your support here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Here's an easy way to do it. If you're going to sell or buy a house, call Real Estate for Life, 877-543-3871, because they're going to get you a Christ-centered agent to purchase your home or to sell your home. And at the close of escrow, a portion of his commission goes right back to Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Call 877-543-3871. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Now, here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to the Terry and Jesse Show. Jesse's out of town, but Bishop David O'Connell is with us. And I'm excited because the last segment he talked about how we should be able to pray to Jesus and ask him into our life. Bishop David, what's the next step after that?
Okay, so we know that it's very difficult for us right now because so many people can't receive the Eucharist.
Right.
Can't bring Christ, you know, can't really, they feel that they can't bring Christ back into their lives, into their families.
Right.
But, you know, right here in Matthew 18, 19 and 20, Jesus says, "I tell you solemnly once again, if two of you on earth agree to ask anything at all, it will be granted to you by my Father in heaven." And he says, "For where two or three meet in my name, I will be there with them." So, you know, if you, my dear listener, and your somebody in your home, if you just decide you could pray together, if you would pray together, then Jesus, the risen Jesus, would become present there. He would be brought, his presence would be in your home. You'll be bringing his presence into your home.
Amen.
Where he is, there is healing, and there's peace, there is forgiveness, there is new life. So this is another challenge for us as Catholics. You know, we always say, people say, you know, will you pray for me? And we say, yes, I will. And then we'll pray for them later on, and we'll pray for them at Mass, or pray for them while we're saying the rosary. And that's good. But it would be powerful. Mm-hmm. We could have at least two people in every home. And folks, now your home, you have to stay in. Mm-hmm. Could you set aside a few minutes every day just to pray together as a little family there? And just each one of you say something to Jesus. Each one, like we talked about your personal prayer to Jesus. Well, do this now, but just do it together. And everybody agree on the thing you're praying for.
Right.
You know, dear Jesus, help us have more peace and love in our family. And each one say that just talk to Jesus in your own words, from your heart to his heart. But because you have prayed this together, there's now the powerful presence of the Lord Jesus Christ in your home, in your family. And, of course, then Jesus makes a promise. When you all agree, but at least two agree to ask for anything, my Heavenly Father will grant it to you. So what you will pray for will be given to you that moment, or a day later, or a week later, or a month later, but it will happen. It's the promise of the Lord Jesus. He lives up to his promises. And and that will really help.
I agree.
Help to transform your life.
You know, Bishop
and then,
David.
Of course, the other part of that then, Terry, is.
Tell me.
We call up, like you say, somebody who's, you know, to be alone right
yeah,
now, maybe
sure.
Someone who's elderly who feels isolated, or even a couple who feel isolated. They're very much living in fear and isolation right now.
Sure.
And there's only a certain amount you can say about what's happening and what you hear in the news. But then just say, let's say a prayer together here on the phone.
Right.
And just both of you say, I'm going to ask Jesus for some, for what would you like to ask Jesus for? And they'll tell you. And then you say, Jesus, please help my beloved sister or aunt or mom or cousin, whatever, to help them. My friend, help them, Jesus, to have to feel more safer and to help them to have a bit more hope in their hearts. We just pray for that and have them say the prayer as well. Now, then you're doing this very simple prayer of two praying together on the promise of Jesus that it will be granted to you.
Beautiful.
This is a huge step we have to make. And I was even saying this even before we ever even heard of the coronavirus.
Right.
We have if we could make this transition in our Catholic faith for people just praying for each other, and that's fine, that's beautiful, to praying with each other, it would make a huge difference in our faith. Because what would happen now with the fact that the Mass is not available and we don't have our prayer meetings and everything, is that people are feeling very lost, is because we haven't learned about this power and this the joy of praying with each other. So, I mean, for the whole generation, we just have people going to bring us people coming to the priest and saying, "Father, can you pray for my son? Can you pray for my husband? Can you pray for my wife?" But you know, now we're going to have to all of us realize, each one of us, no matter who we are, we can pray with another person, and that prayer, when you do it together, brings the presence of Jesus into your lives in a beautiful way that people will actually experience. People will experience his presence when you're praying together.
Beautiful. And Father Bishop David, we just had that yesterday, a woman who loves the rosary, but she likes to pray with people, the rosary, called her up and said, "Would you pray the rosary with me right now?" And she said, "Absolutely. I've been waiting for your call." And so,
yes, you know, very good idea. Isn't that wonderful? Just pray the rosary. Over the phone.
Of course,
and that will also then helps with the problem of loneliness and isolation. And
exactly.
Even before the coronavirus, again, we have what I call the epidemic of loneliness.
Amen. Right? Amen.
Children feeling lonely.
Oh,
Men and women and young adults are feeling very lonely and isolated and a bit lost. But now that you're all home together,
right,
it is a very good way to get beyond the isolation is by praying together.
And one more quick note that we did at our family, and I have a once a week family meeting with my adult kids where we pray. And part of our family get together is I did this when they were young, and here they are in their 20s now and 30s. And I ask them to tell me what they're grateful to God for. And then each of them have to come up with a thing that they're thankful that God has blessed them in certain ways in their life. And you see, it's an attitude of gratitude, and it's welcome just about everywhere. So I'm asking everybody to be creative myself. Creative, because this is a great opportunity. A lot of times people look at these crises that we have with no mass, very few churches are open to go pray in, and it's difficult. And now we have to be creative and say, Dad, especially the husbands in the home right now, Dad, take that spiritual role readership as the domestic church.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Can you talk about dads? Because I've heard you, Bishop David, I have heard you preach on the role of fathers in the family, and I love it. Would you just say a few words to our listeners about the role that dad plays in teaching the family to love Jesus?
Well, I'll tell you something just out of my own life that happened. I'm 66 years old now. It happened about 56 years ago, Terry.
Wow.
So one night, I was doing some homework late, and about 10:30, I came up to the kitchen, as we call it. That's where the only fire was in the whole house.
Yes.
But to get something before I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
There on the cold floor, I saw my dad kneeling down, saying his prayers to the Sacred Heart of Jesus,
I love
the image we all had in our homes in those days.
Wow.
And I was so moved by that, and I think that because I realized, oh, my dad prays not just because mom says let's say the rosary or because mom says let's go to mass, mm-hmm. but he actually has his own relationship with Jesus when nobody sees him, when nobody's there, that he is in some way talking to Jesus.
Powerful.
Yeah. And talking to the Lord.
Wow.
And, you know, that helped me so much. I think it made me realize, okay, for a man to have that, enter into that, the relationship with Jesus, mm-hmm. and that it's something you don't just do when you have to, but when you're told to do it, or because of obligation. But even when nobody's there, in the stillness of the night, to be there praying by himself. And so I want to say to you, Dad.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that going back to that point of the loneliness of our children, the loneliness of our young people.
Sure.
Pray with your child. Sometimes it's hard for you, Dad. I know it, maybe to tell your child, I love you and I want you to be okay and I'm proud of you and all these things. But if you could do it in a prayer,
mm-hmm.
just bless your children. I should tell the men in the
yes.
catechism classes in South LA, just bless your child.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do I do that, they would say. I'd say just say something good, find something good you see in them. And say that, and just say, Lord God, I ask you to bless my son. You know I'm so proud of him. You know that he does his best. I see that. I see his kindness of his heart, or I see how hard he tries, and I'm so grateful for him. Bless him and help him. Dad, saying that prayer for your child, for your son, your daughter, gives them so much strength and so much feeling of security and well-being. It's wonderful for their self-esteem, as we talked about these days.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, your son and your daughter are going many places these days looking for that father's blessing. So if you could give them that blessing by just saying a simple prayer for them, in the morning or the night before they go to bed or when they get up in the morning, your own life will be transformed as you begin to understand the power of your love.
You bet. Well, if we've got the music coming up, we're going to take a final break before Bishop David O'Connell comes back, gives us that great advice. That image of the bishop's father stuck with me. I've heard that story before, and I'm sure it touched you, dads, and I would, you know, do likewise. I know I bless my children, and I continue to bless them even as adults. We'll be back with much more here on the Terry and Jesse Show on Virgin Most Powerful Radio.
Attention VMPR listeners, we've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's BritfieldInstitute Institute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
Finding the right doctor for your obstetric and gynecological needs can be difficult. Do you want a doctor with impeccable references and ethical practices? One who is trustworthy and well-researched? Dr. Aceta is that doctor. As a faithful Catholic in the Kern County community, Dr. Aceta provides expert care guided by his Catholic teachings, focusing on the patient's needs according to his own specialty. Call Dr. Acetta for all your obstetrics and gynecological needs at 661-595-5617. Again, 661-595-5617 for quality care without compromise.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
This is Dr. Scott Hahn, and you are listening to The Terry and Jesse Show.
To join the conversation, call 888-526-2151. Here's Terry and Jesse.
Welcome back to The Terry and Jesse Show. Bishop David O'Connell, the Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles, is here, and he's teaching us, I love it, to introduce people to Jesus Christ through prayer. And I want to just say thank you, Bishop David, for your great example as a bishop here in my diocese. Because every time, I mean, I don't know if you recall, it wasn't long ago, you were praying at the abortion clinic in Baldwin Park a couple months ago. About 600 people came for that, and you brought people to prayer. And I thought, that's leadership that we need today. And I thank you for, you know, not just sitting at home when, you know, the lay people are asking for that kind of leadership. So thank you so much. I want to also mention to our folks that we have the spiritual prayer for Holy Communion on our website, along with St. Patrick's breastplate prayer and also Psalm 91. And yesterday on the Feast of St. Joseph, we put a meditation of the Stations of the Cross where you can watch it on our YouTube channel. And I really think, and this is just my take, you know, we talk about the Stations of the Cross during Lent. I'm convinced that that is such a beautiful devotion, thinking and praying along the 14 Stations of the Cross in the life of Christ there with his passion. It really brings me closer to Christ when I see what he did was for me. And he would have done that if I was the only person on planet Earth. So I just want to encourage you, take a spiritual exercise. Do the Stations of the Cross. It's Friday today. Any day, really, you can do it by going to our Virgin Most Powerful website or to the YouTube channel for Virgin Most Powerful Radio. Bishop David, I want to give you the last chapter, last segment here on helping people in this coronavirus and how they can be closer to Christ through this crisis. What else can they do?
Okay, so maybe just taking a note from you there, Terry.
Yes.
I think this there's so many things we could say, but I would like to say that it would be very, very helpful to people to do the Stations of the Cross, mm-hmm. or even to read the account of the suffering of Jesus in
Amen.
The Gospels,
mm-hmm.
or even just to get a crucifix and just to speak with love to Jesus in the crucifix. But I wanted to say to you that one of the things that's happened in our society,
tell me,
which is a huge source of difficulty for our young people, is that we are no longer teaching our young people and our children and the young adults what to do with the suffering in their lives.
Oh, well said.
And when we were young, I guess we kind of knew this by what we would hear in school and at home mm-hmm. and everything, is when you have some suffering, take it to Jesus.
Amen.
I remember when I had, you know, if my parents were arguing or if I had problems in school, which I often had,
mm-hmm.
and you wouldn't know what to do, I remember going to do it and doing the Stations of the Cross.
Wow.
And as you go around doing the Stations of the Cross, I remember always I'd feel a bit better and a bit stronger. Mm-hmm. And I didn't really understand, I think, what the dynamic of that was.
Sure.
As I hopefully I'm getting a little bit, I'm suddenly getting older. I know I'm wiser, but hopefully I'm But I think now is, I think when you do the Stations of the Cross, and for even for a few moments, your heart opens up and you have some sympathy for Jesus and his suffering.
Sure.
that I think it's like your heart opens up and then all his compassion and mercy flow into your heart. And also I think Jesus himself, if you gaze upon the cross, if you read the accounts of Jesus suffering in the and contemplate them and think about them, mm-hmm. and have some sympathy for Jesus, I think what happens is this is where Jesus actually takes some of your suffering mm-hmm. from you onto himself and gives you back some of his compassion and mercy. And wow. you actually feel it. It's like, it can be like a mystical experience. If you do the Station of the Cross with love, Jesus will take you some of your suffering onto himself.
Mm-hmm.
He will give you back his mercy. And so I think that might be another beautiful thing to do, sure. during, especially during this time of Lent now, but also during this time of suffering.
Yes.
And I want to say to everybody, young people and old people,
sure.
bring your suffering to Jesus.
Amen.
As then what would happen is that as you feel this kind of help from Jesus in the middle of your suffering and sympathy for his suffering, then you get deep into this mystery of suffering and the mystery of the cross, and that's actually a way in which you will fall deeper in love with Jesus, which is what we began our
yep.
program talking about.
That's right.
How to have that new love for Jesus. Bring all this, even all the suffering of this time.
Yes.
Bring it all to Jesus. Talk to him about your suffering. Amen. Do the Station of the Cross. Like I say, read the Passion accounts, and this will be a beautiful spiritual practice in this time of suffering for all of us.
You know, Bishop David, we have about 7 minutes left. I'd like to ask you to pray some deliverance prayers, because so many people are still in the stage of being frightened by this coronavirus. Can we pray a little? Can you lead us in some deliverance prayers?
I'll just take maybe 2 minutes to explain what
sure.
they're
yeah,
about.
Absolutely.
And do them with you as sure. we move out.
Sure.
But there's five prayers that we do at all different times in our faith life, but these are kind of putting all the five prayers together. Mm-hmm. First prayer is like just turning your life over to Jesus with mm-hmm. love and repenting of your sins. This is the first step in having new life. It's the first of the prayers of the unbound prayers, as I call them.
That's right.
And the second prayer is just pray to forgive. Just pray in the name of Jesus and forgive people who have hurt you or damaged you or upset you in any way. Third prayer is just like we do at baptism, at the renewal of baptism promises at Easter Vigil, mm-hmm. is you you say, you know, I renounce, in the name of Jesus, I renounce anxiety, I renounce fear, I renounce depression, I renounce a family conflict. And then the fourth prayer is that you take your authority, my beautiful brothers and sisters, take your authority to call on Jesus to help you to rid your life of fear and anxiety and anger or even sin, you know. And then the fifth prayer is just to receive the blessing of God into your own heart. So the fourth prayer I like very much, especially in these kind of times, is
sure.
that because of the fact that we don't have the Mass available and many times we don't have sacraments available right now, that you take authority in your own life to pray and you take authority for your battle against sin and your growth in holiness. You take the authority and responsibility yourself.
Amen.
All right?
Yep.
So anyway, so let's do the prayers together now.
Okay.
We have about 4 minutes, right?
Yes, we have about 4 minutes. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Great. All right. Perfect. That's plenty of time. So so everybody, you can repeat it after me at home, and I'll just kind of go slowly so you can repeat after me.
Yep.
Just first prayer, Jesus, I love you.
Jesus, I love you.
Come into my heart today.
Come into my heart today.
Please, I receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Receive you as my Lord and Savior.
Jesus, I put my life under your authority.
Jesus, I put my life under your authority.
Jesus, I put my family under your authority.
Jesus, I put my family under your authority.
Jesus, I repent of my sins.
Jesus, I repent of my sins.
Please forgive me for all my sins.
Please forgive me of all my sins.
And help me to follow you more closely.
And help me to follow you more closely.
And yes, for everybody, you must do it in their own hearts, and you can do it now, you do it later on.
Sure.
Just say, in the name of Jesus, I forgive those who have hurt me.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive those who have hurt me.
In the name of Jesus, I forgive those who have damaged me in any way. And for you at home, you can just do this prayer yourself later on. Think of the name of the person that you want to forgive and the reason why you want to forgive them, and say that prayer in the name of Jesus. And then that will be a huge burden off your shoulder, because carrying this resentment or anger is like drinking poison in order to punish the other person for hurting you. It doesn't do them any harm, but it's doing you terrible harm to carry that resentment and anger. So part of the prayer of liberation of Unbound is to just forgive those who have hurt you.
Well said.
And the third prayer is, and you can maybe repeat this after me, Terry, so we kind of get the timing right.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of anxiety.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of anxiety.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce fear.
Jesus, I renounce fear.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce depression.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce depression.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce shame.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce shame.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of self-condemnation.
In the spirit of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of condemnation. Yep.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of despair.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of despair.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of family conflict.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the spirit of conflict in my family.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce hardness of heart.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the hardness of heart.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce arguments.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce arguments.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lies of Satan.
In the name of Jesus, I renounce the lies of Satan.
Especially the lie that my life will never be okay.
Especially with the renouncer that my life will never be okay. I renounce that.
Now it's the lie of Satan that Jesus could love others but couldn't love me.
Renounce the lie that Jesus could love others but not me.
I have Satan that Jesus could love others but couldn't love me.
Renounce the Satan that Jesus can love others but not
Satan.
Me. Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, just so that I renounce all the lies of Satan.
I renounce all the lies of Satan. Wow.
Amen.
Amen.
And,
we got another minute right now, Bishop.
The door to all the
to
all the things that we have named.
Amen to that, Bishop David. I just want to
before prayer is then.
Yes.
By my authority as a baptized child of God.
Yes.
I renounce all those things I've named. I break the power of them over my life, and I call on you, Jesus, by your precious blood, by your suffering and death on the cross, by the crown of thorns, by the Holy Eucharist. I ask you, Lord Jesus, to free my life from all these unclean spirits that have come into my life.
Amen. Bishop David, a final blessing for our radio audience, please.
And may Jesus bless each one of you with great hope and strength. Faith in your families. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop David O'Connell, Auxiliary Bishop of Los Angeles. Thanks so much for joining us today and giving us great hope in Jesus Christ. Thanks again.
Thank you, Terry.
God love you, Bishop David. Folks, did you enjoy that? I sure learned a lot. I hope you did too. We come back same time, same station tomorrow on Virgin Most Powerful Radio. May God richly bless you and your family in this time of need. And share the faith with your family members, especially a phone call to the elderly. Pray with somebody. Pray with your family members. Without prayer, nothing gets accomplished. Thanks again for supporting us here at Virgin Most Powerful Radio. You can get all those prayers on our website, our app. God love you.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. Oh my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou thyself maintain them in holiness. O divine and great high priest, may the power of thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.